every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I am so glad that God's mercies are renewed every morning. Because sometimes I think I'm on 447. I think I've only got about two left. And if the day was to finish and it was not renewed, I'd be in trouble. I just think sometimes I've used up my 70 and I'm only got one or two left. But it says they are new every morning. I could spend the whole hour talking about that. God's mercy is renewed every day. Every day you wake up, God's compassion is looking at you. Just as like a little innocent baby and said, yes, you messed up yesterday. You made me change your diapers 5 times. You puked on me. You did all kinds of things, but look at you now. You're my child. You're my son, and I love you. Amen. That's how we can have hope and have faith and not let the devil take away our joy. Amen. Because when you are renewed, when you're planted, it says in Psalms 1:3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. What I said about renewal is that it comes in a season. Amen. They plant different crops at different times, and as the time for that crop to come up, it's renewed, and you see the little shoot coming up. We may have been through some winter in your life, but I want you to know there is a time of renewal coming. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. You know, I'm laughing because earlier this week, I put it on Facebook. I woke up and I wasn't going in early because I was working. I had been working late at night because I've been dealing with some people in India and they're 13 hours. So I wasn't planning to go in early. And my boss texted me and then he called me and said, hey, we got hold of some tickets for the Brewers game, you know. And I really wasn't, I'm not really a baseball fan. So he told me he only had limited tickets, so I told him, well, in that case, put me as the lowest priority. Please give it to anyone else, and if you have any others. So the next thing I know, he's saying, yes, you're in. So then I felt obliged. I had to go. I had to go because it sounded as if he'd gone to a lot of trouble. So, you know, when I think about this, you know, God just gives me a little hug every now and then. You know, it wasn't for any big deal. I still had to do the same work. All it meant was I had to do it at night now because the way my job works, it doesn't matter if they give you a day off. You still have to do the same work. But you know what God just said? You know, today I don't want you to do anything. Because I was feeling like I needed a vacation. I really was. I told my wife, you know what? I need a vacation. But God just gave me a vacation at work. And he said, come on, let's go to the Brewers game. And he had my company owns a box, a luxury box right back of home plate. And because of that, they get to park right as close as you possibly can. As soon as he went in, he showed his ticket. They said, oh, you got premium parking. We went right almost to the door. We were less than 20 feet from the actual, right up to the front. So he said, I could do this every day. I said, well, I don't know about that. But you see, when you have God's favor, he will do all kinds of little things. So all I did was, I don't know if it was Tuesday afternoon, I just stayed in there and they brought in pizza and all kinds of stuff. And I just said, well, Lord, you just wanted to give me a little day off. So I thank you for that. Amen. Amen. Listen, his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. When you are planted, when you're being renewed, you know, I'm a terrible person. In my flesh, I'm not a nice person. You just don't know me. But you know, God knows me, and here's the incredible thing. He still loves me. That's awesome. That's incredible to me. Because this is what renewal is. God is slowly taking us through a process. You know, Paul says that when you look at an acorn, that's not what we'll be. All we're looking at is the seed. What you see now is not what I will be. It's not what you will be. God is taking us through a process. I was listening to a scientist describe what happens inside of a cocoon. That caterpillar that goes in, actually every single thing inside that is completely broken down to mush. If you were to cut open a cocoon in the middle, all you'd see was mush. How that happens is totally miraculous. It's broken down to the constituent chemicals, amino acids, and God starts to rearrange stuff. In fact, I heard someone say that the things that form the wings are actually the waste products that were in the in the caterpillar, that those crystalline substances. So God took the waste part of the caterpillar to form the most beautiful part. Isn't that something? God can take, that's right. It's renewed every day, his mercies. And he took the waste part, the thing that the caterpillar would have excreted, and he took that and he's made that into the most beautiful part that forms the wings. Do you see what God can do? He can take the things that are your waste, and if you will let him mold you and renew you and break you down and reform you, amen, you're going to come out something completely different than you started. Hallelujah. Renewal. Corinthians 4:14 says this, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now here's the part. If you're expecting renewal, verse 16, for which cause, and this is, I think, a favorite verse of Chris, we faint not. But through, though our outward man perish, though you may feel weak. I think I went to bed 3:30. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed. How does that happen? When you have faith in God, when you stand upon his word, they may look at the outward man and think, boy, that's falling apart. But inside, I'm being renewed. I'm being remade, just like that caterpillar, just like that grub is being broken down and being renewed. It's a process, but when it comes out, it's so beautiful. It doesn't look anything like the thing that went in. It doesn't look like that ugly little creepy crawly thing you don't want to touch that's slimy. But it comes out of this beautiful creature that spreads its wings. It's got all this beautiful color and flies away. Now, it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by. This can only happen by faith. By faith. Because you can't see it. You have to believe it. You have to believe it. Listen, that he is with me and that he has promised to never leave me nor forsake me. When you stand upon those words, when you hold fast to that belief, things will happen. Paul goes on to explain, for our light affliction. Now here's a man who could talk about suffering. He talked about three times being whipped, three times being shipwrecked, left for dead, stoned. I don't think any of us have suffered that far yet. He calls that for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The Bible says, for if we have suffered with him, yes, what is going to happen? We shall reign with him. Hallelujah. There's a little bit of suffering first before the reigning part. The reigning part doesn't come first. I hope you all got that, right? That's the thing that we misunderstand. We think that we reign first when we come to Christ. But that's not how it works. First, there is a little bit of suffering. The Bible says, for if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. That's why Paul was able to say, still in 2 Corinthians a little bit later, he was said, for therefore I will glory in weakness and infirmities, so that the power of Christ can rest upon me. So the power of Christ can rest upon me. So I will give glory in my weakness. Now that's hard. You're going to give glory when you're suffering? I told you when you came here today, we need to put our praise garment of praise on. Take off the garment of suffering and put on a garment of praise and worship. Verse 17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And I told you it's all by faith, because he goes on to say, while we look not at things which are seen. If you look at the things which are seen, you will get depressed. You'll go out there and you'll find someone maybe keyed your car. Right? Someone broke into your car. Someone stole something. The job may be having some hardship. They may be putting off the raises. The electricity. If you start looking at those things and focusing on those things, you will find it hard to be renewed. Paul gives you the key. He says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. If you go back 15 years ago, If you could all cast your mind back 15 years ago, what were you struggling with? I hope it's not the same thing. Whatever it was 15 years ago, it's gone. It's been dealt with. You see, it was only temporary. At the time, it was the biggest deal. You didn't know how you were going to get through it, but somehow, you're still here. You're still here. Because what you can see, what you can touch, is only temporal. That's what the Bible says. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at things which are seen. Now, that's hard. The only way you can look at things that are not seen is by eyes of faith. You have to believe this thing. You have to trust God. Amen. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Love is eternal. God's love for you is eternal. Hallelujah. You see, we're talking today about renewal by the new covenant. So I just want to look at some of the things under the old covenant. Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, which was either Paul or possibly Apollos, said in Hebrews 8:7, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." See, God was doing something to bring a new covenant. We're talking about renewal. "For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." God wants to do a new thing in your life. Are you tired of the old stuff? Are you tired of the devil always getting you depressed? Are you tired of him attacking your family? Are you tired of him attacking your finances? God wants to do a new thing. A new thing. And this new thing can only come about by faith. "I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. For I will be merciful." Now, you see, when God does stuff, it's all by himself. He needs no help. Now, listen to this promise. "For I will be merciful to their good works, to their gracefulness." He says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness." Think about this. God is saying, "I will be merciful." This is the new covenant now, the renewed covenant. "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Remember what it said in Lamentations? New every day. New every day. He says, "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness." This is what saves us, because none of us in here today are perfect. But he says, listen, "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness." When we haven't really been faithful in our thinking and our thought process to God, he says, listen, "I still love you. You're still my child. I'm not throwing you away." See, if you're a good parent, you're still going to love your child. Not that you condone their bad behavior, but you still love them. That's how God is to us. "Their iniquities will I remember no more, in that he saith a new covenant. He hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." So I want to show you how we get renewed in the new covenant. See, the old covenant was righteousness through the law. It was all about works, what you could do, how much you could keep the law. The new covenant is the righteousness of Christ. And the old covenant was one of condemnation. You just picked up sticks. You just did this. The new one is one of reconciliation. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are what? Heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's why the wheat offering, the offering was baked with leaven. See, so many people say, "I'll come to church, but I got to just get some things straight." They're misunderstanding how it works. You will never be able to straighten yourself out enough. Because this ministry, this covenant, this renewal is through God's love and reconciliation. He said, "I will not remember your unrighteousness." Hallelujah. In fact, there's a very surprising comment by Paul on the Old Testament. And I probably have pointed it out before, but I'm going to point it out again. And those of you who haven't noticed this before, but he called the Old Covenant a ministry of death. 2 Corinthians 3:6, "Who also hath made us able ministers." And whenever you read the word ministers, just substitute it for servants. Then you'll really understand. "Who hath also made us able servants of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Now this is what he says. "But if the ministration of death," he calls the old covenant the ministry of death. Think about that. He says, if that was written in stones and was called glorious, if that was thought to be glorious, so that when Moses came down the mountain, they couldn't look on him because he just had the reflected glory, not the actual glory, but the reflected glory. He says, if that was just the reflected glory and that was thought to be good, even though all it ministered was death, what about the new covenant, the renewed covenant? Amen? How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? What he's saying, even more glorious. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Where we fall, where we lack, God's grace, God's mercy underpins us. Amen. He lifts us up. He takes us through. He called the old covenant a covenant of death. You know, a few Tuesday nights ago, I preached or taught on the fact that there was no penalty given when the law was given. Because God didn't have to. Why? What happened to everybody? They died anyway. Death came in right at the garden. God didn't have to give any more penalty. We were all going to die. Amen. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. If it depended on my goodness, if it depended on me being thinking perfectly, you know, it's not even just the outward show. We can be outwardly perfect, but inwardly we can be thinking all kinds of stuff. None of us would want our thoughts just to appear as bubbles, would we? That'd be scary, right? Man, because we think some things sometimes, we even surprise and shock ourselves. You ever said, why am I thinking that? Why am I thinking that? Amen. So let's look at this. So the reason the old covenant wasn't much good is that even before the covenant, there was death. The old covenant, all it did, the Bible says, is make sin more sinfully or appear more sinful. So notice once the covenant was enforced, death came early. I want to point out something that I haven't pointed out before. Like Genesis 5:5, let's read that. I'm going to read that. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. That's a long time. 930 years. 930 years. And his son. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. Now, in Genesis 5 was the covenant written down. When was the law given? Who wrote down the law? Moses. So in Genesis 5, was the covenant written down?
No.
No, it was not. There was no written law, right?
No.
Was no written law. But what still happened to people? They still died. But they lived a very long time before they died. Now, notice something. Once the law was written down, what happened to their lifespan? The law made sin more sinful. Therefore, death came quicker. I wrote down here the top 10 longest living people in modern times where they have verified how long they lived. The oldest was a French woman, and she, her recorded verified age was 122 years, 164 days. And then she died. She wasn't very close to any of the others in Genesis, right? She was still a baby. But you know what had happened since then? What's the difference between Genesis 5 and now? The covenant had been written down. So the law made sin more sinful. And what does sin do? It brings forth death. So once the law was now written down, it made sin more sinful. So people died earlier. Do you see what I'm saying? Before it was written down, they lived hundreds of years. Once it was codified, Moses only lived 120 years. He lived less than this lady did. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. That means he didn't die because he was getting old. He died because his days were numbered. What I'm trying to tell you is that we are not under this old covenant. And that's why under the new covenant, we are passed from death unto life. We don't actually die. We are actually changed. Now, it's a question of if you believe that. The old covenant, when it was written down, finally, it just made people die even quicker. God did not have to pronounce, you shall stone him to death. They were all going to die, and they were going to die real quick compared to Genesis 5, where they lived hundreds of years. Reason why? The covenant was not written down. Paul in Romans says, nevertheless, death reigned. Death reigned. Even those over those who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam. So we are so glad that we're not under the old covenant, because when we are renewed, when we are reborn, that little oak that is planted in the ground, it can live hundreds of years, hundreds and hundreds of years when it is renewed, when it is comes up as a plant. Let's look at this. Now let's compare the two covenants. The first one was static. It didn't change. The proof of it, it was written in stone. You don't get more static than that. The new covenant is dynamic. It's written on hearts. That's what the Bible says. The old covenant was predicted in Jeremiah to come to an end. The new covenant will never end. We have a high priest who ever liveth to provide intercession for us. Hallelujah. This is how we can be renewed. The old covenant, Paul called it the ministry of death. The new covenant is a ministry of life. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The old covenant was a ministry of condemnation and judgment. The new covenant is a ministry of reconciliation and love. The old covenant was powerless to save. Moses lived 120 years and he died. The new covenant is powerful to save. Amen. Powerful to save. The Bible says we are passed from death unto life. The old covenant was about piousness and your works and what you could do that people could see. The new covenant is an inner reality. It's by grace are ye saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. The old covenant was called the law of sin and death. The new covenant is the law of the spirit of life. Paul in Romans said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He answers his own question in Romans 8:1. But the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. The first one was just a shadow, a type, a symbol. The second one is the substance, the reality, the real thing. Amen. The first one, every time you sinned, you had to bring a sacrifice, a turtle dove, a meal offering, a grain offering. But now, by one offering, in Hebrews 9, says, by one offering, he hath perfected them forever. Yes. Hallelujah. Perfected forever. Hallelujah. Think about that. Perfected forever. Hebrews 9. And then in the Old Testament, there was a yearly atonement where everyone had to come and atone. But there is eternal atonement. Said, not by the blood of bulls and goats, by his own blood hath he entered in. Now unto the end of the age. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are so blessed and we should be renewed. The old covenant had an earthly tabernacle and none of us could get any close to it. We couldn't come very close to that tabernacle. We had to be afar off because we were Gentiles. But under the new tabernacle, the new covenant, when he said it is finished, there was a wrenching and a splitting. And we now can come boldly, Hebrews 4:16, what? Into a throne of grace. Hallelujah. You see, we are renewed by redemption through the covenant. But Christ, having come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. If you could stand with me. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. What he's saying, all that did was ceremonially made their flesh clean, but it did nothing for their insides. Couldn't clean the inside. How much more? There's a word, how much more. In the New Testament, you find that a lot. Much more, not a little, much more. Much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, to purge your conscience from dead works. You see, Satan is attacking your conscience, always bringing you into condemnation. But if you will be looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, we will not be in condemnation because he took it all. If you're feeling guilty today, it's because you're saying Jesus' blood cannot cleanse you. But I want to tell you today, absolutely, firmly, and categorically, that his blood saves to the uttermost. He can deliver to the uttermost. Paul, the writer of Hebrews, says, how much more, not a little, much more. His death is an overpayment, a way overpayment for anything you have suffered, any suffering you're going through. He overpaid. He's owed. He's owed because it's such an overpayment. And here's my favorite verse in Hebrews 9. It says, and for this cause, he's the mediator of a new covenant, a new testament. We are renewed by the fact that through this new covenant, we have peace with God. Amen. That by means of his death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Hallelujah. This is where we are at today. And I'm just going to read the prophecy in Jeremiah, and then we're going to pray. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. This was in Jeremiah, 700 years before God fulfilled his promise that I will make a new covenant. He wants a renewed relationship through this new covenant. Not one based upon our works, but based upon his sacrifice, based upon his death, based upon his love, based upon his grace. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And through Paul's teachings, we know that we are engrafted in. So we are heirs and joint heirs. Amen. Amen. If you came here today all depressed and hang down, I want you to know that you can have a new relationship. You can be renewed in your spirit. You can let the devil know that, listen, you have done trying to depress me, because Psalms 48 says, he is the lifter up of my head. Amen. I will not fear, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. There were some shadows of death yesterday in the cars that tried to kill us, Sister Carol. But I tell you what, thy rod and his staff was with us. Amen. My number wasn't up yet. He wanted me to be here today to sing his praises, to declare victory over the enemy, and to give him glory. We're closing this Bible study, this Sunday study, but I want you to know, do not leave here depressed, because we have the victory. Amen. Amen. He has renewed and remade a new covenant. We have a new relationship, not based upon our goodness, not based upon my love, but his love. It's not how much I can hold on to him. It's how much he can hold on to me. Amen. My father used to tell the story of a little boy that was on a ship, and the ship was in a storm. And the little boy was getting scared, and he said, Daddy, can I hold your hand? And the father says, no, son, let me hold your hand. There's a difference there. We can't hold God's hand strong enough, but when he holds on to us, he said, none can pluck anyone out of my hand. Nobody can pluck you out of his hand. If you will just rest in his promises, if you will be renewed through his word, if you will let the washing of the word transform your life, hallelujah, we can have victory today. Hallelujah. We are going to have victory. Amen. We're going to praise him. We're going to take off the garment of sadness and doubt and put on the garment of praise. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts with me, Father, we thank you today for your gracious, oh God, love and your grace that you have poured out for filling this place today with faith. Lord, we just thank you right now that you will continue to minister to us. Lord, that you will bless us, that you will uplift us. Oh God, that you will give us favor in every aspect of our life. And we declare the devil a liar, and we stand upon your word and promises, and we give.